What's going on, everybody? This is the Locked On Eagles post-game show. Louis DiBiase here joining you on this Monday morning alongside Gino Camilleri. The Eagles fall 38-20, and they drop to 3-3 on the season with a loss to the Minnesota Vikings. And Gino, this is a frustrating one. This season has been very similar to last year. I think they're a lot better through six games than they were last year, but today especially, because the other games you can argue they should have won, right? The Atlanta game, the Detroit game, those were like one play away from being 5-0. Today was a culmination of every self-struggle that they have had this year. And we'll get into it deeper, segment two and three. Whereas like Atlanta, drops were an issue. Detroit, turnovers were an issue. So like it was separate things each game, it felt like, right? Whereas today, it was everything at once. And it's the only loss that I thought they really deserved to have. And the name of the 2019 season right now, even at just 3-3, tied for first place in the NFC East because the Cowboys lost to the Jets today, would be, ow my foot, the story of the 2019 NFL season, the Plaxico Burress season, because you say it all the time. It's one of your signature tweets. And it really is true that this Eagles team is their own worst enemy. They are shooting themselves in the foot again. And this team, like, they're better than 3-3, and that's the most frustrating part. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the thing that frustrates me the most out of this game is that they had all the ability in the world to win this game today. And we were talking right before we started. I feel like we watched this exact same game against Minnesota last year.
We did.
Just a less effective Carson Wentz the last time around,
that's right.
You know? But today, they... I'm not going to say Kirk Cousins outplayed Carson Wentz. I think Carson Wentz had arguably one of his better games
in 2019. There's two takes I don't want to hear all week, and it's that Kirk Cousins is suddenly like, this justifies anything,
No. This
validates anything about Kirk
Absolutely
Cousins,
not.
And also I don't want to hear anything about blame for Carson Wentz. You can say something about Doug Peterson, but when some media people continuously like to just link Doug and Carson, and to me that is just a terrible way to put it, look at it, and especially this week, because Carson Wentz was the... Like you said, walking into the studio today, there's like five guys you're not mad at after today's game. And number one has to be Carson Wentz.
It is
robbery that this Eagles team is not at least 4-2 right now, because they have let three balls-to-the-wall Carson Wentz performances go to waste against Atlanta, against Detroit, and against Minnesota today. He was spectacular, and he should have been as frustrated as he was in the second half of that game. They pulled within, what, one score? They were down 24-3, and as always, Carson Wentz willed them back into that football game, and guess who gave it away? The defense and drops.
Yeah, it's one of those things that you look around, Carson is just waiting for somebody to make a play on that
offense. Nobody made a play for him. Nobody.
I'd say,
how many drops were there? And even Alshon and Ertz were, like, if Alshon and Ertz are going to make mistakes like that today too, all hope is lost.
Yeah, that's the one thing. I do trust Alshon Jeffery. I think we got before this game. He's always had big games against Xavier Rhodes, and he was beating him with ease today. But you look around, Mac Hollins can't catch. Zach Ertz has a fumble. I mean, Nelson Agholor can't track a ball to save his
life.
Can't
handle contact either down the field.
He couldn't put a magnet in the ball and a magnet on his hands and track a ball over his head and even come anywhere near
that ball.
I've
defended Agholor the past couple weeks. I'm not doing it today.
He is so out of my realm of caring about a player and wanting him to be part of this offense. Because
was this like a steep drop-off? Were you okay with Agholor the past couple years?
I was fine in the way that they used him.
Right, like now that they need him, though, to be like a
wide receiver 2017 was much more a flash in the pan than a lot of people did.
Okay.
I never really trusted that pick coming out. I felt like...
What about as like a wide receiver three, though? Like, what if he wasn't making $9.5 million?
If he was at like $6.5 million? Like, I'm fine with that.
Okay.
But you're sitting here paying a guy money that's... Playmaker money. That is a decent amount of money for offensive playmakers for the Philadelphia Eagles. You're making $4 million less than Alshon Jeffery. You're right there with DeSean Jackson. You're considered a 2A or a 2B on any given day.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't go out there and make plays. Yes, he went for 4-42 today, but consistently when the Eagles
nice
need
play,
a shot down the field in many different games, even in the Jets game, when they needed to click on offense, that Trumaine Johnson one, yes, he got held up, but like you said, his contact balance, couldn't track that ball. That's a huge spark. The Atlanta game, that drop cost them the game. This game today, that ball over his head, that's a completely different game. That takes the air out of the entire stadium. That stadium was so loud after everything that happened with Stephon Diggs. I mean, Kirk Cousins was just, he was given the hand he was dealt. A bad secondary. You have two of the best route runners in the league. Let him go eat if you're not going to get any safety help. Doesn't change my mind. But Carson Wentz, with the game he played today.
And he was pushing it down. Like, that's the funny part,
too. They were moving the ball with ease in the pass.
I mean, how many? They had another two great plays by Miles Sanders on these vertical routes. They need to continue to do that. Down the field, he had a 45-yard catch. He had a 30-plus-yard touchdown on his first play. He was great in pass protection. There was that great play to Alshon Jeffrey along the right sideline where he put it perfectly over Trey Wayne's hands. And look, Alshon, someone that big and that tall, when he's leaning out of bounds, it's hard for a guy like that to regain body control there.
Absolutely.
So I kind of understand Alshon there. Probably still should have scored, but there were plays. I mean, Wentz was awesome today. He was on point. He was accurate in the pocket. He was moving around playing pickup football. The reason you draft that guy second overall as opposed to a Jared Goff today who had 75 yards and what'd you say, a QBR of
3.2. Not 30.2, 3.2.
Like, I do appreciate Carson Wentz a lot more today watching Dak Prescott lose to the Jets and watching Jared Goff just have no
kinda
answers
came
to San Francisco.
It was a nice, like, combination
like at the same
of everything
time.
That we've been saying about
the 4 o'clock games really did make me feel better about the situation.
Quite vindicated.
But at the same time, like, talking about the playoffs, the Eagles still have a really good shot because the NFC East appears to be the NFC least
once
again.
The world's not over, dude. That's how people are looking at this game.
The wild card spot is tough right now because there's some really good NFC teams, but the division is right there. They're still tied for first. The problem, though, is that we had much bigger aspirations. We had a Super Bowl aspiration this year. We were hyping this team up more so than even like last year or 2017 or even like 2011 or 2015. This year, we were putting a lot of labels on them in the summer. So they have more expectations. And when you have the same inconsistencies on a week-in and week-out basis that show up every single week, you're never going to be a title contender like that. You can make the playoffs, mm-hmm. sure. I still think they can turn it around like they did last year. Mm-hmm. Was that team a Super Bowl contender down the stretch? Hell yeah, they were. Were they at this point in the season? No. And are they right now? No. So if they don't clean up the things that we'll get into more, the drops, the penalties in crucial situations, the inefficiencies when it comes to Jim Schwartz and his secondary coaching, the secondary, the talent itself, it all creeps up week in and week out. Maybe some creep up one week and then the others the next, but they all continuously appear, and today it was all of them, I felt like, at once. And
yeah, it was like
and it's against a really good team too, so you can't you can do that against the Lions and still almost win. You can do that against the Jets and still beat them by 30 plus points, but against a Minnesota Vikings team that has the talent they do on both sides of the football, you're not getting away with that, and you're not winning a championship this way.
Yeah, no, it's like a Chicken Little sky is falling thing. Like, everything came to a head today. You look at those two big plays to Stephon Diggs, we saw the exact same thing week one. Rasul Douglas, in an unfortunate situation against a player who is much faster than him, with no safety help.
And you're playing him close to the line, and you're not letting him get his hands on him too, so Diggs, one of the best route runners in football, is going to open that guy up like a book.
The play was over before it even started.
Yeah.
That play was won at the line of scrimmage. They identified it. They knew what was going on. The Eagles just could not cover on the back end and cannot cover at all. And they need to do something in the worst way at the cornerback position. Look, they still have a lot of talent on this team.
They're a good football team, for sure. I'm not willing to say that this is what they are now, because last year this happened, and they did work it out, and they almost made it to the NFC Championship game, and then maybe they make it back to two straight Super Bowls. So I'm not willing to say here that this is who they are, but this needs to be fixed. It's a coaching thing, and a lot of it's a personnel thing. A lot of it's an injury thing, too. Some of these mistakes, drops, a lot of it's been because Alshon was banged up and Deshaun Jackson's been out of the lineup. So, yeah, I'm not willing to say that this is what it is, but right now, if this continues, they're not a championship team. So we had, coming out of the jump, we had bigger expectations. And we're going to get deeper into it, though. We'll get into all these problems. There were some positives coming out of this football Sunday, despite the Eagles' 38-20 loss. They fall to 3-3. Last year's 3-3 was feeling I think, better. Even though the team right now is better than they were at 3-3 last year, last year's felt better because they beat the Giants in their most convincing win to get there. Whereas now you fall to a team that has beaten you now two games straight with a quarterback that I just don't respect his ability whatsoever. So we'll get into it deeper coming up next. This is the Locked On Eagles postgame show, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase and Gino Camilleri joining you, and we're sponsored today by Peloton. Peloton is offering a limited-time offer. Get $100 off accessories when you purchase the Peloton bike and get a great cardio workout at home. Go to onepeloton.com and use the promo code LOCKED to get started. That's LOCKED, L-O-C-K-E-D. We'll be right back. All right, everybody, this is the Locked On Eagles postgame show. The Eagles fall in Minnesota 38-20. The result, not as good as 2 years ago back at this stadium when they were raising the Lombardi Trophy. And one thing we didn't get into, Gino, because it hasn't been a consistent problem this year, but it definitely was a problem today. And it wasn't a problem the last time this person was coaching in the Super Bowl in Minnesota 2 years ago, and it was Doug Peterson. And we'll get into Jim Schwartz, but there were some times where a great play call, right? Like Miles Sanders down the right sidelines, like the running backs getting them involved in the passing game. There were some really good calls that you're like, okay, that was great. I thought he schemed a lot of the deep plays down the field. I thought a lot of it was like that Alshon Jeffrey double move, the route, I thought was perfect, you know, exposing Trey Waynes. And then there's times where the screen passed Alshon on third down.
Everybody saw
it coming.
On third
and three, when he had already done it like four times in that game, he did it like five times against the Jets. There was the fake field goal, which when Carson Wentz is playing as good as he was, I understand if it works, we're probably saying, ah, there's Doug Peterson again. But when Carson Wentz is playing as good as he is on fourth and four, with how good they've been on third and fourth down this year, I kind of like Carson Wentz to have the ball in his hand. So it was an inefficient coaching job, a play calling job by Doug Peterson too.
I think right off the jump, running the ball into stacked boxes three consecutive plays and taking a three and out after your defense was just on the field for nearly 7 minutes, that was Chip Kelly coaching.
I tweeted it.
I said that was a Chip Kelly drive. The situational awareness to go into that situation knowing you need to kill some time that your defense was just on the field and not even letting your quarterback throw
Minnesota was
the
on
ball.
The field for 7 minutes the first drive.
He moved it fine last year against them. What made you think that you couldn't beat him this year? You had Alshon Jeffrey beating Xavier Rhodes all game long. What was going to change in the second quarter? Like, you let Carson throw it one time in the first quarter, which was barely at the it was with under a minute left. It was his
and
first
it was a
throw
pass.
And it was a screen pass. Unbelievable. Doug Peterson is such a conundrum to me that at times he can dial up everything perfectly but then at the next time he just doesn't know what's
like
going
he keeps
on.
He's running like, it on second and nine.
I think the perfect culmination of that came on the very first drive after the half, and what it was 24-10 coming out of half, right?
Yep.
So I tweet a list of things. I said both coordinators have been awful today. Let Carson throw. Jordan Howard shouldn't play another snap in this game. Just get Miles vertical. Please catch the ball and give Rasul safety help. So that was coming out of halftime.
First half, yeah.
The very first play, what does Doug Peterson run? Jordan Howard into an eight-man box. The very next play on that drive was the Miles Sanders.
That's right.
Got it vertical again. They go to Jordan Howard again by the goal line, gets stuffed in an eight-man box. Very next play, touchdown pass to Alshon Jeffrey. How Doug just was so unaware that the run game was not working?
And that's the aggravating part is normally I think he is very self-aware of that.
It was crazy.
He just wasn't.
I felt like I was in an alternate reality of coaching. Like, this was not the Doug Peterson I knew. His explanation on that fake field goal was ridiculous.
Yeah.
You had no timeouts with 15 seconds left. Who's gonna spike the ball? Jake Elliott? How many times has he ran a spike in his career? Probably never.
Probably not.
Carson's moving it with ease. You need 4 yards. Even if you don't get the first, take a shot at the end zone. Like,
right.
If you know that you're not going to get points unless you convert a fake field goal, which is what? What are the percentages?
Well, there was only
of that?
One route.
Like
15%? You had Dallas Goedert running
one
to the
option.
Sideline, and that's it.
Cam Johnston didn't even move.
Because
like,
Elliott
make him
actually,
an out route.
I'll give Elliott credit. Like, he held on to the ball. He didn't like force a pass first. He tried to see if Goddard. He bought some time trying to open up Goddard, and it wasn't happening. So give him credit for that. But yeah, you were limiting it to just one possibility. And if Minnesota got it, then it was over.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Eagles have actually been one of the teams that have, and it's weird because like a team like the Buffalo Bills are the opposite this year. Last year they ran it on first and 10 or in second and long more than any team in the NFL. And now they're passing more than almost any team in the NFL. And the Eagles now are, and say what you want, yeah, sometimes he can just get into too big of a happy pass-happy mode. But this year it's been like the Eagles are one of the bottom teams in passing on first and second down. Like, they're running it consistently, regardless of the situation.
Pass on first and
second
down.
And especially the Eagles are such a, like, analytics-based front office and even coaching style. Like, Doug references it all the time. And it's just, it's not there all the time this year. It's just, again, it's the biggest word is inconsistencies. And with Doug Peterson, too, I thought last year, I don't know, and maybe just like as a play caller, you're kind of like a quarterback. You can get hot and cold sometimes. And I thought he was cold throughout a lot of the beginning of the season. And then he got on as the season went on when Wentz had to come out and he had a healthy quarterback in. And, you know, other guys, the offensive line improved and stuff. So it's not all on Doug, but, you know, he wasn't really helping either today. I just felt like Carson Wentz was just dragging along the other 40-something whatever players active and the coaching staff today.
Doug Peterson should write up his 15 to 20 play game script that he runs in the first quarter. And right before they walk onto the field, he should throw it in the trash because they do not know how to get off to a hot start. And then it seems like once the game plan can open up and, like, they're not on this script, that's when the offense, like, starts to go. And it's like, why doesn't he just free flow from the beginning?
And I think conservative play is also a big reason why. And look, they haven't started slow the past couple games. Over the last 3 weeks, they were 15th in first half scoring, which isn't the best, but it's still mid-tier. It wasn't 32nd like they've been the past couple years. But then today, again, like I said, everything came full circle today with what they've been struggling with. And you know what? The offense should not get off with the slow starts, for sure. They've been heading into the half with like double-digit deficits almost every game for the past like month and a half. But the defense, like, let's move over to the defense.
Yeah.
The defense has allowed four opening drive touchdowns this year, and I think only the Jets have not scored on their first drive.
Let's say the nice stuff about the defense first. Let's
sure.
And then we'll get into
Fletcher Cox was good, I thought.
Hassan Ridgeway had a pretty good game.
Yeah, the interior's actually been a strong suit of this team the past couple weeks.
Brandon Graham rushing from the interior again.
Got another sack today.
Andrew Sendejo had like the luckiest play of his career.
Yeah.
Went right off of Diggs' helmet.
Can we be nice to anybody else? I don't think so. I mean, Derek Barnett was kind of
Rodney McLeod played a game, like, he was there. No,
yeah,
I can't.
I'm struggling to find anything else because this defense, they start slower than the offense.
Did they even start? Like, were they on the field? Like, were they even trying to stop Minnesota?
It was ridiculous.
And Kirk Cousins?
I am tired of seeing bad quarterbacks. I'm tired of the Eagles making bad quarterbacks look good. Kirk Cousins, I'm sorry, he is not a good quarterback. He is now 6-27 against 500 teams or above. And I feel like half of those wins have come from the Eagles.
Probably.
Yeah. Me and you have been some of the biggest supporters of Rasul Douglas and Sidney Jones and Avante Maddox. And even, you know, giving guys like Craven LeBlanc a shot and justifying why you bring back Ronald Darby, Jalen Mills. People are getting on Howie Roseman today. And while some of it is true, based on the young guys not contributing, I don't think you should have blamed him for not adding more corners when you had six guys that you've won with and that have proven some sort of promise that you've invested in. But now, like you said in segment one, you've got to do something. For as much as I love Rasul Douglas and for as good as he's been this year, when you have a guy like him, especially considering you don't shadow corners or receivers, except for today.
He did it for one play.
Yeah, he did it
one
and it worked.
Play.
He had Douglas shadowing Thielen a lot. But that's like the only time. Today was the only time I've ever seen that. When you don't do that and you have a guy that can't cover speed receivers, that's a problem. And when Sidney Jones continuously cannot stay in the lineup, and today he didn't have as bad a game as people were saying, but still made some brutal plays. I'm ready for a CB1. I'm ready for a guy that I don't have to see these blunders every other week. Or even, sure, Rasul Douglas can have a great month stretch, but then he can give up two huge touchdowns today. Malcolm Jenkins called them out today. And justly so. Even when things don't go right, you can never, like, the corners never bail you out on this team. Mm-hmm. Like, Carson Wentz bails his offense out at times. Malcolm Jenkins bails them out with, like, a blocked punt or an incredible interception against the Giants last year to save the season so they don't go down 19 at half. Mm-hmm. Right? Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, how many times have they bailed you out? We don't get that from the corners. I'm ready to give the Jaguars whatever they want for Jalen Ramsey. He didn't play today. William Jackson, Patrick Peterson, Chris Harris, whatever. It's time. I am in such We need a CB1. We need a CB1.
There's a lot to unpack here, and let's start from the beginning. Let's go back to a much simpler time of 2017 when we were juvenile. Great. We didn't know what a Super Bowl victory felt like.
Right.
We had a big need at cornerback. We addressed it on paper. You go out and you get Sidney Jones, who is
you spent a second, third,
top 10 talent,
right? Because Darby the trade.
Yes.
So you
technically spend 2/3 to get Ronald Darby, a second to get Sidney Jones, and a third to get Rasul Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
You had Jalen Mills. You go out next season, you luckily enough get lucked into Craven LeBlanc. You draft an Avante Maddox. On paper, you have done enough to fill that
You've at least
mission.
Been trying. You've been investing not just seventh-round picks like at running back the past couple
and
of years.
And if players were to linear increase their skill set, towards year three, they should take that jump, which is Rasul Douglas and Sidney Jones. So on paper, you have Ronald Darby. You signed him back. You have Jalen Mills. You have Avante Maddox. You have Craven LeBlanc. You have Rasul Douglas. You have Sidney Jones. On paper, that's enough. But let's talk reality. We are now sitting here after a game where Malcolm Jenkins, the captain of your defense, makes a statement saying, "This game's not for suckers. If you aren't confident on the outside, then we can't use you. So we don't mind that they're challenging the outside of it. We can do what we can to protect them from the calls all day, but at the end of the day, you have to go out there and cover."
Yeah.
That's a shot directly at Sidney Jones and Rasul Douglas, directly at them. And that's the thing. Cornerback is one of the toughest positions to play. Let's not get it wrong.
Yeah, you're going to give up plays.
In a pass-happy league,
you're going to get beat a lot.
Cornerbacks are going to get beat.
Yes.
Call a spade a spade. But when you have a guy in Sidney Jones who just cannot play up to his confidence level.
He just looks nothing like the kid at Washington. Even when he looks good, it's just not.
You know what it reminds
me
of? Especially for Philly people, it reminds me of Markelle Fultz. Fultz was broken.
Same year, by the way.
He was broken. Sidney Jones, to me, is broken.
And you kept wishing, you're like, Fultz, man, if... Like, I
if
saw
you could
it
develop
Washington,
the shot, if you could get
the
school,
too.
Literally, that we are.
You're like,
Philly should never
like,
draft a player
it,
from
so
Washington again.
And it's justified that you wanted to hold out hope because it was more so an injury thing.
We were
like,
preaching it from
I
the
keep
we
watching,
said don't draft a corner this year for that exact reason.
And I think they were right to not do that. And you kept watching it, much like Markelle Fultz. You're like, I saw it. Like, it's there.
Right.
It's in him. But year three, you can't wait, especially when you're in this window. Maybe if you were like a couple years away, you could be a little
if
bit more patient.
If Carson wasn't in his prime. And,
right.
Yeah.
But
you don't want Aaron Rodgers 2.0 with no defense.
You have to
an
take advantage of this.
You have to.
This window.
You have to. And right now you are sitting here, and I think the thing with Sidney Jones is that we didn't have enough to evaluate him coming
into
this season.
He only had six games under his belt last year?
And as evaluators, you technically like to see 3 to 4 games. That's what you would do if I were to write up a report. But Sidney Jones had so many question marks, and over a couple of years, you don't have an equal sample. So now you have this sample of 5-6 games this year when he just hasn't looked himself. And as year three, you see these big jumps for all these players in year two and year three, and Sidney just hasn't had it. Even Rasul's had this jump.
He has.
He even though today wasn't a Rasul game.
Well, he was top 15 in PFF.
His
force and completion rate heading into today was the best in the league at like 30%.
I'll give him that. But even so, like today, he gets into these spells when he just gets out of Rasul mode. When he doesn't trust his technique.
Yeah.
When he's playing, it especially happens against faster corners. He gets afraid to get beat. I feel he got away from it. And I'm not going to cut
him.
He gets
less aggressive.
He gets much less aggressive. I don't cut him any slack. Sidney Jones is. I feel like a change of scenery is necessary for him. Like as the biggest Sidney stan, I'll throw in the white flag. Like,
what do you think happens next week with Mills coming back? Are they benching Jones?
We're almost there. I mean, between the benching today when they put Craig James on the field for
and he was benched because he said his hamstring is 100%.
I don't know what reason he would have been like. I don't feel like he had. I mean, both guys got burnt. Like, call spade a spade, they both got burnt. But outside of that first one, like, he got kind of ticky-tack called on that one hold. But outside of that, you really didn't hear Sidney Jones' name. I felt like he was tackling fine. He had the one missed tackle, unfortunately. But, yeah, I don't see it working for, like, I feel like that was, like, today was a big last straw moment between benching Malcolm Jenkins calling him out. So now we're here in a situation of what the hell do we do next week? We're going into Dallas. We're playing for first place. Mm-hmm. They may or may not have Amari Cooper. Regardless, you have a murderer's row of a schedule coming up before you get
this
to the
must
easy part.
You have to win this football
you
game.
You have to win this football game. Because
then you're heading to Buffalo, which is the best defense in the league right now, seemingly. Then you got Chicago, New England, and Seattle.
So what do you do? You are sitting in NovaCare.
I'm calling Shad Khan every day, even when he's sleeping, and I'm waking him up, and I'm going to drive him nuts until he just caves in and gives me Jalen Ramsey.
Patrick Peterson was made known that their teams are calling around the league. Schefter reported it today that three teams have been in contact with Arizona.
You gotta
imagine. I can guarantee one of those is the Philadelphia Eagles. I can guarantee Howie Roseman is on the phone because Howie Roseman is very self-aware. He realizes that this is his window. He has built this team. You look at how he structured a lot of these caps. He moved a lot of that money to get this team to where he has to be for 2019. He just cannot let this roster implode. This is a great team on paper still. We've seen...
Well, it's not even just on paper. Like, they just beat the Packers a couple weeks ago.
You're going to get healthy Deshaun back. You're going to hopefully get some reinforcements.
You're going to get Tim Jernigan back.
You're going to get Jalen Mills back. You're going to get Avante back. You're going to get Ronald Darby back. But even with them, I don't know what Jalen Mills is going to be next.
He hasn't played since last November, I think.
That is a huge question. We talk about Sidney
Jones.
It was
a Liz Frank injury, and he wasn't even a very fast corner to begin with. Like, Sidney Jones, at least before the injury, had explosion. He was athletic. Jalen Mills was not that before the injury. So you cannot expect that guy to come in and save you.
And
especially not Ronald Darby, who was as bad as the guys that were on the field today.
And he's not going to tackle Amari Cooper if he has to play him one-on-one.
They have to do something. And I don't know if it's maybe because you need a receiver right now. I think two. Maybe you throw in two first-round picks and give us A.J. Green and William Jackson or whatever it takes. Or Jalen Ramsey or, like you said, Patrick Peterson, Chris Harris. You can't sit here with even if this, all six of them are healthy and you've won with them before. But to me, this year, especially with Jim Schwartz being the most frustrating defensive coordinator that, and look, eventually when a coach has the same failures over and over again, that coach should not be untouchable. I'm not calling for him to be fired.
We haven't even started talking about this.
Yeah, I'm not calling for him to be fired, but, and again, you would like to have a corner that, even though, sure, Roddy McLeod didn't get deep or Malcolm Jenkins didn't get deep, you'd like a corner to be able to recover and make a play still on that, and they don't have that. At the same damn time, when you know those are your corners, stop putting them in positions to fail. And I feel like that was Schwartz again today. It was an infuriating performance by him when it comes to the secondary.
Without a doubt.
I mean, what's the point of even playing off when you're getting beat deep? You're keeping everything in front of you. What do you mean? You're getting destroyed every week by that anyway. Let them at least try to press them, slow them down, give the pass rush some more time, and put some safeties over top. Because this is not working. It's not working. This defense does not play well from behind because they give up yards and yards and yards. And he doesn't adjust. So when they're down by 10 points, this defense is not the defense to get you back into a football game. Is this offense? Yeah, they play really damn good when they're under pressure, especially Carson Wentz. The defense is the opposite, and it starts with the coach. I'm not willing to just and he's got some tough stuff to deal with from the personnel standpoint, for sure. He's had to deal with a lot of damn injuries on that unit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the same things with him that just bother me. I just, from the way I like defense, the way I want to play defense, it's not the same way as what his philosophy is. And that's why I'll respect him as a defensive coordinator. He would have never been my first choice.
I don't think there is a human as stubborn as Jim Schwartz. I fully believe
that. And even when he adjusts, by the way, he just goes all in on that. Blitzing, I'm not stopping it now. It's like, just
he's
find
very
some balance,
hard-headed.
Please.
I think you made a great point saying that Doug usually is very aware, and I think a great
normally,
point
I
of
think
that
he is, yeah.
was 2017 down the stretch with Big V. You knew, especially going into Minnesota, a game that he was lauded over for having a great game. You go back and watch that. They had help on Big V's side all game long.
I felt like
long.
Brent Celek was on that side almost
all game long.
Entire game.
That is an unbelievably self-aware move. You have a guy that you can win in spite of being on your team in Big V. You have corners that you can win in spite of, which is one of those three terminology levels that Dan Hatman always talks about that I always mention on the show. Win in spite of a player is a guy that you have, he's a liability. Your corners right now in man-on-man coverage, in single coverage, with no safety helps, are liabilities. Jim Schwartz is so unaware of that situation happening right in front of his eyes for the past how many seasons now? Yeah. And he continues to not adjust his philosophy. Minnesota, by rights, your front four today could have gotten to the could have stopped the run game. Like, they were bruised and battered. They had Josh Klein out. Their left tackle was out for some of the game. Played dime in this situation. Like, throw six DBs out there one time for me. Like, take some of the pressure off the front four. Take all the linebackers out of the box. You said they were playing four linebackers at some point. What the hell was the point of that? Why?
I mean, maybe they can't cover on the
back end. Get a third safety on the field. Get a third cornerback on the field. You could not cover on the back end. Your front was fine. Don't worry about the front. They will take care of themselves. You have two guys on the front line that you will win a game because of in Brandon Graham and Fletcher Cox.
I thought they were good today,
by
the way.
I thought Hassan Ridgeway played a great game for
this. This wasn't the thing where
Akeem
Spence
played great. Josh Sweat played great, too. All these guys, we can't even appreciate the games that they had because the back end can't cover, and Jim Schwartz doesn't know how to take guys away from the line of scrimmage and not get roasted at the back. All the analytical numbers.
It's not one or the. It's not black or white. You can play up and still not get beat. That's my problem. Like, Malcolm Jenkins said it today when he was calling out the corners. He's saying, you know, in our defense, you got to have guys that can be able to do this. I don't want to just say. I don't want to hear in our defense. That is Chip Kelly stuff right there too. Is in our style, and I get you're going to have a main style, a backbone. That's the way you're going to be for the majority of the time. But if you don't adjust in game, not just adjust during the week,
the entire season,
just adjust. Period. Like, then that's what coaching is.
Yeah,
that's what coaching
that's
is.
That's what being self-aware and understanding your surroundings are. And the whole thing is. I say a lot of the reason the Eagles were successful in 2017 is because their offense adapted to beating defenses around the league. And I feel like their offense continues to adapt. They continue to find games. They were that year they had three really good wide receivers. You had a good Zach Ertz. The next year you have a bunch of good tight ends and Goddard and Ertz, and you try to work through them. Now you're trying to do the same thing. You're going to work Jackson back into your game plan. Jim Schwartz has had the same issues his entire tenure in Philadelphia.
The offense, like, there's different things they're struggling with. It's not the same thing for the past 3 years. It was the slow starts. Then they were fixed for a couple weeks, right? The drops is a thing. But again, I think a lot of that has to do with Matt Collins is playing so much. And even today, like, I don't think you should expect to see Ertz making those mistakes and Alshon making those mistakes again. And Aguilar reverting back to his 2016 ways. Like,
that's
that
what
maybe,
Murphy's Law, everything that can happen that's going to be bad will be bad. Right. That was today. Like, Zach Ertz isn't going to continually fumble.
And,
like, these drops should improve.
Deshaun will be back. So you're going to be able to move the ball down the field. So that's the thing with the offense. I'm more concerned about the defense because it's the same things.
Yes.
It's
you are taking a square peg and having two guys that do not have the ability to cover great route runners and forcing them to play with no safety help on the offensive side of it, that would be like sending a tight end or a running back to chip for a tackle.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the same thing with safety help. You are not helping them in any way. Jenkins did say he took a credit for
the second one,
which is understandable. They kind of a blown coverage. But even the first one, Rasul should never be in that situation. As soon as he saw that against Terry McLaurin week one, he should have never been put back in that situation the remaining of the 2019 season. He has not done anything to prove to Jim Schwartz or that front office otherwise, any of those cornerbacks, to prove that those guys can cover on an island with no safety help. If you can't learn from your mistakes, teams, much like a team with Kirk Cousins who doesn't have an elite quarterback, will just game plan better than you. And I felt Mike Zimmer and Stefanski, they came out and had a hell of a game plan today.
They did.
They had a hell of a game plan, and they attacked
a lot
the
of
Eagles
play action. They were
where
getting
they were
going to
be weak.
They were getting away from that defensive line.
We called that script to a T.
So, I mean, that's the problem. And look, again, you would like to have a corner that you can do everything with. I get it. It is a personnel problem, too. They do not have the guys back there right now to be reliable. It's a culmination of everything, and that's why I'm way more concerned about that unit right now than the offensive side of the football. We got to hit another break here on the Lockdown Eagles postgame show. The Eagles fall to Minnesota yesterday 38-20. They're 3-3, but Now, you know, they're still first in the NFC East. They're still at least tied, and we'll get into that coming up next. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. Louis DiBiase and Gino Camilleri. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Today's Locked On Eagles podcast is sponsored by Blue Chew. Guys, this isn't just for you out there who can't perform. It's for any guys who want that extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Listen up. It's Blue Chew. Blue like the color blue. It's prescribed online. It ships straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our Locked On Eagles listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment for free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON. Head over to BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON, and try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the Locked On Eagles podcast today. All right, Eagles fans across the globe, this is Locked On Eagles. Thanks for tuning into this Monday edition of the show. We got stock up, stock down tomorrow, and, you know, we're going to have a lot of stock downs. Today's been a negative show, and I think it should be, because this team is playing a frustrating brand of football once again, and they're better than...
They have to be held accountable
for
what they
exactly.
did
today. They're a better football team than this, and it's frustrating because they're a veteran team. They're not a young team. They're not the Cleveland Browns who have everybody... Like, I feel like the Browns right now, almost their entire offensive starting lineup and defense are under the age of 30. The Eagles are the second or third oldest team in the NFL right now from a starting standpoint. They shouldn't be making... That's the thing. They are their worst enemy. It's their Plaxico Burress right now. They're shooting themselves in the foot. They should honestly... And today's the only game I really think they should have lost where they were like the worst. They were the worst team today.
Yeah,
they were a better team than the Falcons.
They got outplayed.
Yeah, I thought they were a better team than the Lions. Today, they should have lost. But again, I think it was because of them. It's the drops. It's the penalties. We didn't even talk about it. And sometimes the refs today I thought were terrible. They let Trey Waynes... they called one on... Sidney Jones down the right sideline.
Atrocious.
And it was the exact same play as the drive before. Trey Waynes and Nelson Agholor were hand fighting, and they didn't. They let him play. Where is the like the hypocrisy right there? The refs were bad today for sure. But at the same time, like then there was the holding on the kickoff, and that puts you back after the Minnesota Vikings just had an opening drive of 7 minutes and 13 seconds and scored a touchdown. Now the offense has to start from the 7 yard line. It's these kind of things that continuously pop up over and over
again.
What about
that Rasul Douglas when he's like holding Adam Thielen's towel?
Right, and it was
like,
on a third.
What the hell was the point of that?
It was on a third and nine, and the play was
you
pretty
had
much dead.
It was a zone. You had inside leverage, and you were playing behind, like Kirk Cousins would have had to throw a perfect ball for that catch to be made. There's no. It's just undisciplined, just little things that drops shouldn't happen for
no
these guys.
With this coaching staff and with this personnel, there's no excuse for it. Now, I don't want to be like a lot of people that, you know, in take culture, it's a week-by-week thing. Right now, you got to say, this is who the Eagles are. Like, the expectation of the summer, they were wrong. No. Is that the case right now? Are they Super Bowl contenders right now? No.
Not the way they look,
but at the same time, this team is first in the division. They're going into a game with the Dallas Cowboys to battle for first place. They still have that easy stretch. They're still playing some really good football, I think, throughout this season. It is not the start of last year. There are some really good things to take away. And even today, you have a elite quarterback. That touchdown to Alshon Jeffrey, how he maneuvered that around was... the pocket, each level, getting to the next level of the offensive within the pocket, evading guys. Meanwhile, keeping his eyes down the field, knowing Jeffrey's going to break, putting it over two defenders. Like, you have an elite quarterback. I think Doug Peterson, the play calling, it's going to get better. I think that's going to work out. You're going to get healthier. There are things to say that this season still is on track, for sure. But I'm not willing to say that, you know, this team can win a championship right now. At the same time, I don't want to say that this is who they're going to be. Because last year, like, would you agree, they, from that Rams game on, were a championship contender. Like, they fixed it and they went on a run. Of course, we need it to be fixed quicker this year than last year. You can't bank on the miracle that happened to get in yet last year.
Yeah.
That's
not going
to happen.
I mean, you do have a nice schedule down the stretch.
Sure, but
you do.
With how the NFC is looking
right
now.
But you have to win now.
Yeah, and it's really early still, but look at the NFC. The NFC West right now has the Seahawks are 5-1. The Niners are 5-0.
Yep.
Right? Did they have a bye week? That's why they're 5-0. Even the Rams, for as bad as they're playing, are still, they're more than 3-3, right? 4-2. They lost
last. I think they're 3-3.
Or they might be 3-3, yeah. The Rams are right with you. The Panthers are 4-2 without Cam Newton. The Saints haven't lost a game yet without Drew Brees. The Vikings are 4-2. The Packers are the best team in that division right now. Chicago has a winning record.
Detroit,
who you've lost to already. You've already lost two games to the NFC North. So it's tough. It's a long shot right now for the wild card just from right now. But at the same time, I'm not willing to say that this is what it's going to be because you've seen some really good stuff as well this season. You just need to fix the mental mistakes. They have to be fixed now. They cannot be fixed week 13.
Absolutely.
I don't think that's going to work again. I don't.
I think you said it a great way that you have to fix it right now. You have an elite quarterback.
With this stretch, you can't play like that against the Patriots.
No, absolutely not.
And look at what happened last time. Look what it took. We had to play a perfect game to win that championship. A perfect game.
Yeah, and then the time before that, they just had to completely outplay.
Yeah, you had to have a special teams touchdown and a pick six.
You had to have everything go
out.
Right for you. And the way, you know, I was high on Seattle. I said they were going
to
be
in the
NFC championship.
They are awesome. And DK Metcalf is great. And yeah, they got Ziggy Ansah and Clowney on.
Yeah, man, they got a good squad.
And Wilson, of course, is like an MVP candidate right now.
Yeah, I still think there's a lot to be ironed out in the NFC, but the thing is you have the ability to take the NFC East. You just have to win the division.
That's what's great. Like, Dallas is not living their worst. Mm-hmm. Say what you want about the Eagles' inefficiencies this year and their downfalls. Dallas has dropped three straight, and it was instantly, the minute they started playing good defenses, everyone's like,
they were ready to
name Kellen Moore the next Sean McVay, right? The next Kyle Shanahan, the next Matt Nagy. And then they start playing good defenses, right? They play Green Bay. They play the Jets. Who else do they lose? To the Saints. And suddenly Dak Prescott looks like Alex Smith all over again. So that's the good part, is the Eagles, to me, are still the best team in the NFC East. And if you get this team in and they figure it out in the playoffs, look out. Because, again, this team still has all the talent on paper that made us want to pick them to win a title in the summer.
Absolutely, and I think you have to look at it like that. The sky isn't falling. Like, as much as we might want to say today's
it's
a bad game.
And again, we got to hold them accountable.
Oh, of course.
But you're right. It's not falling yet.
But you have to have balance to everything. I think this Eagles team, still, there's not many things that have changed outside of a couple injuries that changed my mind about the team that they have. As long as 11 is at the helm, they have all the chance in the world to go as far as 11 will take them.
And I cannot wait till DeSean Jackson.
That is leaps and bounds farther than many quarterbacks will take their
teams.
And
if he gets back number 10, like, that's such a huge impact.
But
even
to
if he's
me,
70%.
To me, I was going to tweet this, but it just, in my head, I wanted to say it on the microphone.
Yeah.
In 2017, the Jay Ajayi trade was made out of luxury. In the 2018 season, the Golden Tate trade was made out of luxury.
True.
In 2019, a trade for a cornerback is going to be made out of necessity.
100%.
They have to get a cornerback in that building. And I even say adding another wide receiver might be option number two.
And you could even make the argument that, like, last year, sure, was running back, adding a running back probably a necessity from that positional standpoint, from a production standpoint? Yeah. Was it a necessity for them to have success down the stretch? Clearly, no. They almost made an NFC title with Wendell Smallwood.
I think
with
that's corner, the best point about throwing the football.
Yeah. With corner, you're not getting back there without this
it's a
right
pass
now.
Happy NFL.
Yeah.
Are you going to go play Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl?
That's what I was
He'll
literally
go for 900 yards with Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman.
I was watching the way Deshaun Watson was playing today, and I was watching the way Russell Wilson was playing, and what Aaron Rodgers
did
to us.
Will Fuller go for 900 yards?
Yeah, you're not beating teams that way. You can beat Dallas, again, like you can beat the Jets. You can beat the Cowboys. You can win a playoff game. You could beat the Bears.
You're not beating Kyle Shanahan with
Super
the
Bowl,
San Francisco.
When you needed to have 1,000 yards of offense combined, you needed to have 500 of your own. That's the thing. When you need a corner to make a stop, because it's going to come down to that.
You have
to
have
somebody
playmakers.
To make a play. Yeah.
That's how you win games, is a turnover battle.
I can't wait for the deadline. Maybe we got to get into it earlier because I think they got to make a
move.
You
got to do it now.
Yeah.
You cannot go into Dallas next week knowing how much is at stake.
Because the deadline's the 29th. I mean, it's the 13th today or the 14th. So we still got 2 weeks.
Yep.
They
got
to do something
games.
Now.
You have to do it.
Yeah, you really do. So again, the sky's not falling. There's a lot of issues still with this team that continue to creep up. I don't think they're going to be good enough where I don't think they're going to lose this entire five-game stretch coming up for sure. But it starts this week with Dallas. Let's hope DeSean Jackson comes back, and you need a win. Mm-hmm. If you get a win, to me, I'm not saying everything's back on track, everything's solved, because I imagine the same struggles are going to happen. You're not getting reinforcements at corner now. Unless you do trade for Ramsey right now, there's going to be probably a lot of the same struggles.
Definitely.
But you hope some of them are fixed, some of them that you know this team can fix just from a mental standpoint, not from like personnel. From corner right now, the way to fix it is just by adding talent. The other things, I think Jim Schwartz can work out. I think Doug Peterson can work out. I think the receivers can fix. So, yeah, I think that's it's a frustrating game for sure. I'm tired of losing to Kirk Cousins.
Can we make one rule that for the Locked On Eagles podcast,
yeah,
if any player signs a one-year contract and has anything that is worthy of going on an opponent's bulletin board, i.e. Vince Young in the Dream Team,
right,
and Zach Brown saying that Kirk Cousins is the weakest link, we're automatically out on them. I am out on Zach Brown. I completely hold him 100% accountable about Kirk Cousins' performance
in
today.
In fairness, I didn't disagree
Either
with
did
him.
I.
But yeah, you don't say it. There's no
you can't.
Point.
There's no reason to.
Although Zach Brown, that's just who he is, though, too.
No,
he's a
I
trash
understand.
Talker.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he didn't look good today. The press
no,
were kind of,
like
they
correct.
Were asking him a couple questions, and he
terrible.
Wasn't having yeah. any of it. So yeah, the Eagles fall 38-20. They're 3-3 here. Hey, I'm still feeling better because the Jets did beat the Dallas Cowboys. So, but yeah, we'll continue to get into it. We're going to keep looking at this matchup tomorrow with stock up, stock down, get to a player by player perspective. And then Wednesday, we got crossover Wednesday with Marcus Mosher of Locked On Cowboys. And we'll move on because they've got to move on right now. And like we just said, they got to fix things. Any final thoughts?
Carson Wentz just continues.
Thank God we have number
11,
right? I mean, let's end it with a positive. He is.
That 4th and 15,
that's
we
a hell of a defense that he did that too.
We can't even appreciate that play he made on 4th and 15. That scramble drill to keep it alive, keep his eyes down the field, get an open Zach Ertz, convert when they needed it the most, and then Zach Ertz goes out and fumbles.
That's the most frustrating part. Is
that is the culmination of everything.
I
that
thought he was
today.
Awesome against the Packers for sure. That was a statement win, probably maybe his best one outside of the Rams game or the Panthers.
Oh,
it was
you mean every week
three.
Isn't a must-win game for Carson Wentz?
Right.
Oh,
right?
That's not a thing.
Can we stop, please, with the situational wins talk? God damn, I hate that so much. But the one frustrating part is that Carson Wentz has had like 3 signature performances this year, and it's all come in losses. And I hate that people blame him for that because he has been in the 3 losses this year. I think their quarterback has looked the best. And that's the most frustrating part is because maybe not this week, but they could be looking at 5-1. And sure, you can say, yeah, maybe they don't come back against the Redskins, but I think they're much closer to 5-1 than they are to like 1-5.
No, without a doubt. And that's the thing to understand. And a lot of people that will go out and say Carson Wentz, whatever.
I don't
want to
hear
blame
anything
it on
about
Minnesota.
Number 11. That's not positive.
You have
this
to put
week.
Context behind anything that you talk about. You look at this,
or at
Philadelphia
least you should to be credible.
Without a doubt,
not everybody does.
Without a doubt, you look at the Philadelphia Eagles, 2 teams right now, and then the Buffalo Bills. The Bills, they're a couple plays away from being 1-4, and they had the second best record in the AFC right now at 4-1, which is crazy to even say.
I envy them, by the way. They get to play 5 teams the rest of the year still that don't have a win yet.
That's unbelievable.
Meanwhile, the Eagles have the toughest stretch coming up of the NFL. From week 7 to 12, they have the toughest. So that's the thing. You have to fix it now because this schedule, this was the start of, we called it phase 2. I mean, Dave Spadaro started that this week. You have to fix this because you're not beating these teams that way.
No, I tweeted that. I said, the only game you are winning where your corners can play that bad is against the Jets. And you got exactly that. Because they did it
maybe
today.
Maybe the Bills, depending on how you feel about Josh Allen.
I mean, you right? know how I feel about Josh Allen. But we'll save that for 2 weeks from now.
Absolutely.
I have a bigger fish to fry coming up next week. But the world isn't falling. We're still in first place, technically, in the NFC East. We're acting like we're like
And it would be nice to be like it would nice to be in 2017 where you're going to get a bye week, right,
for sure.
One or two seed. But
this team is
one
on adversity all the time.
If it stinks to be 3-3 because you feel like you should be better, but if you can still win this division and get this team into the playoffs, at least with even one home game, you know, the sky is still the limit. It's not falling.
Without a doubt.
It's not falling. This has been the Locked On Eagles postgame show. The Eagles are now 3-3. They fall to the Minnesota Vikings 38-20. We'll be back tomorrow for the Tuesday edition with one of our flagship episodes. It's Stock Up, Stock Down. We'll get into some positives, some negatives again, continuing to wrap up this game against the Vikings. And then Wednesday, as I said, we will move on to Cowboys week. It's a battle for first place in the NFC East. And that's, what, a 4 o'clock game? But that might be the game of the week?
No, I think that's
Sunday
night. Yeah.
All right. That's a Sunday night game. So we got Marcus Mosher coming up on Wednesday. All right, so that's a Sunday night game. We'll have crossover Wednesday, and then me and Gina will take a deeper look on Thursday. So that's why make sure you're subscribed to the podcast. We got 4 to 6 episodes a week getting downloaded into your phone or on our website, lockdowneagles.com. And the conversation always continues on Twitter, at LockdownBirds, at DiBiase, L-O-E, and at Gino. _LOE. That's going to do it for my co-host Gino Camilleri. I'm Louis DiBiase signing off. As always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. And let's go, Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.